One of my favorite songs, and Andrew let me listen to it extra long before saying hello. It's Deb Hutton, your guest host. And one of my favorite segments throughout the afternoon on The Rush is the 4:30 to 5 slot when we are joined by smart speakers. Got some great friends today on the panel. Jamie Ellerton, founding partner at Kanaptist and longtime political strategist. Faye Johnstone, co-owner and executive director of consulting firm Wisdom to Action. And Scott Reed, CTV political commentator and advisor to a number of prime ministers, premiers, and political leaders. Welcome all to The Rush. Let's get going. The Kafia commotion. We had the Speaker of the Ontario Legislature ban the wearing of the kafia in the precinct, which is not just the legislative chamber that we're all familiar with on television, but the broader area of Queen's Park. All four political leaders, in a rare show of unanimity, said that they opposed Speaker Ted Arnott's decision yesterday to ban the kafia. This morning, Marit Stiles brought forward a motion to ask for unanimous consent to be able to bring forward a change to the Speaker's ruling that was denied by a handful of MPPs, including Eglinton Lawrence MPP Robin Martin. I just want your general take on this. I'll start with you, Jamie. What do you think is unfolding? Marit Stiles did say to me earlier this afternoon when she joined me that she is hoping to get the Premier to, quote, whip his MPPs into shape so that she could bring forward the motion again and hope to count on unanimous consent. So go, Jamie, take it wherever you want to go.
I just think this whole thing is ridiculous. Our healthcare system is crumbling. There's another story out today that we haven't appointed enough judges, and therefore someone charged with human trafficking had their charges thrown out because the justice system can't keep up. And people want to now take up all this time in the legislature to debate whether or not someone can effectively wear a scarf. I just don't care. And get rid of all of these bombs and actually fix the province.
All right. You took it in a place I wasn't expecting. Faye Johnstone, up to you.
I think that the Speaker's decision here was a misstep. I think that, cultural symbols are not the same as political symbols. And I do think there's a mess there. And as a feminist, I would say everything is political. The personal is political. But I don't think of a pride flag as political. And so somebody wearing a pride T-shirt shouldn't be, forced out of the legislature because of it. And so these are cultural symbols that can be political sometimes. But I think it is not just to ban a scarf or a flag. And we should get back to the big issues facing Ontario.
Scott Reed, I'm quite curious for your take on this because, you've been in these chambers. You know that in most cases, they try to get rid of the notion of overtly political symbols of any way, shape, or form, including clothing. The real debate, I think, as Faye was somewhat alluding to, is this cultural or is it political?
I just don't think, and listen, I understand where the MPP from Eglinton Lawrence is coming from. That's my home riding. I myself am, pretty hardcore in my views on Israel. But the way I look at this is, unless you're going to say to somebody they can't wear a cross, around their neck as a Catholic, I just don't think you should be policing these symbols. I do think they're cultural. I know, the politics of our moment is very inflammatory, but I just don't think this is where you want to be. And the reason it's a distraction, to Jamie's point, is because these politics are so raw. They matter so much to so many people. And so you see a bunch of politicians saying, can I slice this and try to get some favor out of it? And I think that's unfortunate. I think it's unfortunate this has become a point of disagreement and dysfunction in our own legislature. But as far as I'm concerned, unless you're literally wearing a sword or a shirt that says Dylan sucks, you should be allowed to do as you please.
Wow, that's super political.
Don't be slagging Dylan.
Can I just push you back a little bit, though, on the comparison with the cross? Because you know, having looked at this issue in the last 24 hours, and I freely admit not to any great degree prior to that, this is not a religious symbol. It is a cultural symbol at its least, and I would argue political, which is, as I said, the debate. But it's not a religious symbol, and so I don't think you can make the comparison with the cross, but maybe you disagree with that.
It's rice paper thin lines between cultural, political, and religious symbols. And I definitely think that the Catholic Church is as cultural as it is religious. I understand it. I understand how to some communities it's inflammatory, but I don't think the legislature should be policing it. I think that Ford is right on this. I just wish we could put this debate past as quickly, because I know that people are looking to try to borrow the tragedy and disharmony right here, and that's garbage.
Maybe we can get your audio fixed, Scott, Andrew. Anger, pessimism towards the federal government has reached a six-year high. It's a six-year high only because it's only been for 6 years that Nanos Research has done a survey nationally. This one is for the month of March, so I would just say it is prior to the rollout of the budget announcements and certainly the budget this Tuesday. They measure feelings of optimism, satisfaction, disinterest, anger, pessimism, and uncertainty. Anger has hit a new record. You may not be surprised, Jamie. Is this really a bigger issue for the Prime Minister, or is it just same old that we've been talking about, just in a different package?
No, I do think this is a bigger issue for the Prime Minister. Obviously, I deal with a lot of political people in my life, both friends and business. But even the non-political people are starting to share anti-Justin Trudeau memes, essentially talking about either housing or inflation and the cost of groceries and just like the average things you have to do in your day-to-day life. For the government, I think coming out of the budget here, like you could say, hey, they're finally starting to take some action on housing, too little, too late. Like the arsonist is now claiming to be the firefighter. But really, I think this government's kryptonite is they have no follow through, and their inability to actually deliver and sustain action over a period of months to actually make an impact is ultimately how they've gotten into this mess. And so if the budget was them finding religion and actually starting to believe the polls and see the existential threat that exists to Justin Trudeau's government is real, they're going to have to actually now work for the next 18 months in advance of the next election to make the case that actually, yeah, we are the ones to continue leading, as opposed to just having an announcement, hope it goes away, and having problems just continue to get worse.
Faye Johnstone, to Jamie's last point, I mean, is that even remotely possible to do when you've got almost two-thirds of the Canadian electorate saying they're either angry or pessimistic about the Trudeau government?
I think it's definitely a steep hill for this government to climb. I'm not, you know, casting them aside and imagining that they're not going to, you know, rise back in the polls as an election year. I think that they're not in campaigning mode as much as they should be and could be. But I do think they need to show results, and that's where they struggle. I think that there's a lot of good words, and we don't see the follow through on their commitments. You know, a story we're talking about soon is around their failure to appoint judges. And if you can't get some of the basic things right, I think it really makes it hard for Canadians to believe that you're going to be able to deliver on the crises of the time. But I also think the environment we're in right now, you know, the cost of living, inflation, housing crisis, those are, you know, the federal government absolutely has a role, but there are also so many other factors in governments influencing that. And so I think that the Liberals are in a bind because it's tough times all around and all around the world. But they are taking the blame time again, and they're not showing the results of these announcements that are meant to make life more affordable for you, me, and everybody else.
Scott, I got 40 seconds for you.
I don't even think it's about the government anymore. I think we're in one of those cycles where time for a change is an iceberg. You show me a government that's been reelected during a time of high inflation. I just think at this point, it's not about their follow through. It's not about this. It's not like they're perfect, but I don't think that's what it is. I think at this point, this script has been written. And unless there is some major, by definition, unpredicted and unpredictable event, the writing is on the wall.
Scott Reed, Faye Johnstone, and Jamie Ellerton, they will stay with me until after the break for traffic, and we will discuss the issue of a lack of judges and guys going free. You're listening to The Rush. It's Deb Hutton. Welcome back. Thanks so much for joining me this afternoon with you for just a little over another hour. I always find that last hour of The Rush goes by so quickly. Right now, though, I have the pleasure of being joined by Scott Reed, CTV political commentator and advisor to a number of prime ministers, premiers, and political leaders. Faye Johnstone, co-owner and executive director of consulting firm Wisdom to Action. And Jamie Ellerton, founding partner at Canaptus and longtime political strategist. A little bit of a heavy first segment with you guys. I'm going to lighten it up just slightly and ask you if you have heard and what do you think about the Taylor Swift album leak. We were supposed to get it at midnight tonight. Last 24 hours has seen a number of her tracks, supposedly her tracks, on social media across the internet. What's your take on this? I'm going to start with you, Scott Reed. You seem like a Swiftie.
Let it go. Just let it go, okay? Like, don't get stressed about the leaks. Don't get stressed about anything. She's going to be okay. And the album will blow people's minds away. That's just the way it goes. That's how it's going to be. I am looking forward to it. You know what? I like it when I'm around for something extraordinary. You know what I mean? Like when people go like, oh, you know, I was watching Tiger Woods, you know, win four majors in a row, or, you know, Tom Brady, you know, win six, seven Super Bowls. Like I like being around for extraordinary things. And we are in an event. We're in a moment. We're in a stretch where she's like doing stuff that people have not done. Like she's Barbra Streisand, Loretta Lynn, Michael Jackson, and Kris Kristofferson all rolled up into one, man. She is the bomb. I like it. It's cool. It's fun to be experiencing.
Now, I have girls, so they're into Taylor Swift. Are your boys into Taylor Swift? Because you have all boys.
So. Not really. I mean, I poison them, right? They're mostly into, like, you know, the band and Allman Brothers, so...
All right. Faye Johnstone, are you excited for midnight? And what do you think about this leak? Is it possible it's Taylor herself who has leaked it?
I'm still processing the happy note in Scott's voice as he describes Taylor Swift and the saga she represents. I think we've got a confirmed Swiftie on the call. I, however, am not one of those. I am neither a hater nor a lover. I will likely listen to it when I next go out dancing, and I will hear it in the club and say, oh, that's a good song. I like this. And so I am happy for everyone's excitement, and I'm going to digest it in 6 months.
But you're not staying up till midnight just to see the album drop.
Maybe this makes me like culturally irrelevant, but I don't stay up to midnight for anyone's album drop.
Jamie Ellerton, what about you?
I hate to be the wet blanket on the Swiftie lovin', but I think she's probably the most overrated pop artist out there today.
Oh,
and if
Jamie.
I'm going to listen to pop music, I'm probably going to listen to Beyonce or Ariana Grande, who actually has some vocal range to go with the dance moves.
Oh, I won't tell my children, Jamie Ellerton. All right, I lighten things up because I'm going to go hard again. A GTA man, Jamie alluded to this a little bit earlier, has had human trafficking charges tossed over a chronic judge shortage here in the city of Toronto. As you know, the Supreme Court of Canada ruled that you must have your trial within 30 months. This is has been a violation of that, and as a result, someone who may have been guilty of human trafficking charges is now free. Jamie, I'll let you take this one on because you mentioned it in our opening segment.
Yeah, and I think it's also worth elaborating. The Toronto Star reports this person also had a similar charge previously thrown out for the exact same region. Like, this goes to the fundamental operation of government. If we cannot have the minister appointing judges, you have the minister's spokesperson complaining that because there was an election in 2021 and there wasn't a cabinet meeting apparently for months, that that's why we have a shortage right now. It's just absolutely absurd, and it speaks to the total incompetence as to how the system is being run. I appreciate that Minister Varani is new in the job. His previous Minister Lametti has since left politics, but like, this is on this government. They need to wear it. And this is like a core responsibility that they're just incapable apparently of doing.
Faye Johnstone in all of these situations, and Jamie's right, I didn't get into the details, but it's the second time this year that charges have been dropped as a result of this for this guy. I just always think about the victims. And I think if you're, you know, the parent of someone that may have been a victim of human trafficking, and the individual that you believe to be responsible never gets his or her day in court, that's got to be pretty tough to take because of government incompetence.
Absolutely. And, you know, I really struggle with the political debate on this as we're seeing playing out in the, like, you know, soft on crime allegations from Polyev and the conservatives towards the Trudeau government. But at the same time, you know, it really, you got to get the basics right. It is shocking and it is in its way heartbreaking that we are in a situation where victims aren't getting justice, that we're in a situation where folks are be able to walk away when they never should be able to do so. And so, again, it's, you know, to our point before the break, the government needs to show results. And this is one of those areas. And I'm not a lawyer. I don't know the legal system. But I would love if there could be a judge to hear a case and make sure that victim gets some justice.
Scott Reed.
This is chapter 6 in my book that's entitled Good Ideas Gone Bad, Bad, Bad. And the good idea was that in 2015, the government was like, you know, we got to like overhaul the appointments process and take out so much of the like bear fang partisanship garbage that's in there. So we're going to set up professional advisory boards and professional processes. And they did all that. And they in the process, they gummed themselves up into so many extraordinary handcuffing processes. And then, you know, simple things like cabinet approval and mechanisms for that. And then you had a justice minister who, if you believe the rumors at the time, Lametti was moved because the PMO was sensitive to this very criticism, knowing that these very things would occur, was pulling their hair out saying, dude, you've got to get a slew of judges on the slate and appointed. And he had, you know, differences about what that meant and when it should happen. So then you end up in this situation. It's inexcusable. It's awful. It's a failure, as Jamie says, of a basic competency and a basic mandatory requirement. And, you know, it's just literally it just makes your head shake. And it's, you know, it started as a good idea. And you ask the Trudeau staffers over a beer, they'll tell you like, man, here's our tale of woe and what went wrong. And it's like, the only part I heard is it's gone wrong.
I'm just going to stick with you for a second on that, Scott, because one of the things I've always wondered is if they were trying to be so super sensitive to balance in all ways and shapes and form in those that they appointed, that it's bogged them down. Is that an accurate accusation on my part?
I'll reject that. I think that's just the kind of like, oh, let's just shorthand it as they're being too woke and they want to make certain that everybody's, you know, left-handed and a lesbian. And so I don't think that that's, I think they literally turn themselves into process notes with advisory boards. And we've seen it in other examples that are, you know, perhaps less alarming to people, or they touch people's lives less often. I don't think it's just woke gone crazy. I think it's process gone crazy, an inability to cut through process.
All right. Fair point. Jamie sent me this text, and Scott and Faye, feel free to weigh in if you want, but I didn't want to catch you off guard. Wall Street Journal wires, Canada's industry minister is weighing a list of a dozen foreign grocery companies from the U.S., Germany, Turkey, and Portugal, among others, to potentially lure to the country in a bid to increase competition in the domestic food retailing sector. Jamie, I read this and I think, like, this is real government that we actually have. Like, this is crazy for me.
It is absolutely crazy. And of course, we already saw Target try and come in here and have to pack up leaving because they couldn't make a go. So the idea that the federal government is now going to bribe the equivalent of like Loblaws in those countries to come and open up grocery stores here with our own money so we can pay less, it is absolute economic insanity.
Yeah, guys, I you know, Faye, I don't know. Do you have a comment on this or Scott? I think it's, as Jamie said, it's ridiculous. Like, do your job, buddy.
Okay, I might be a smart speaker, but grocery politics is way out of my expert range.
Not me. I'll talk about anything. I'll tell you where I'm coming from on this. I've seen this story 10 times in 5 years, and it's not about groceries. This is the champagne spin from him and his staff. He's on the phone. He's bugging the cell phone providers. He's on the phone with the grocery CEOs. He's the little guy that won't stop. He's trying to get the CEO of the Japanese automaker here. This is an extension of that same tired story about how he's indefatigable and tireless, and he's always calling up people in foreign countries who head companies and try to get them to come here. And that's what he's doing now. And that's his final last chapter remedy.
And that's our final last word. Thanks, Scott Reed, Faye Johnstone, and Jamie Ellerton. We're up against the news. Thanks so much, as always, for joining me on The Rush.